Whoever sees one child such as this receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. Jesus is trying to teach the disciples what's meant to be the focus of their ministry. He's been doing it for some time in this last few passages that we've been hearing this last several weeks. They keep on not getting it. So he pulls an example. He pulls a child who would have symbolized the lowest in their community. He could have equally chosen a widow or a some form of ill person, mentally or physically ill, and pulled that person aside. They all represented the lowest on the totem pole of their society. But he pulls this child and says, if you treat this person one well, then you're doing what I've asked you to do, to be the minister of the gospel. And he said it time and time again, those who are wounded, those who are broken, those who are in need, they're meant to be the primary focus of a ministry. Because if that's kind of the measure, because if we treat them well, then we'll treat everyone else well. In these last several weeks since I spoke first of my own sexual abuse at the hand of a priest, I've been inundated with emails and texts, and most of them are incredibly powerfully loving and supportive. But nearly about 50 of them are people who have suffered their own sexual abuse, mostly at the hands of family members and relatives. And it's been somewhat overwhelming to try to deal with this flood of victimhood. And I've asked myself multiple times as I respond to these, either by text or by voicemail or in person, what is the model response? What is the model response to somebody who has suffered a trauma, such as sexual abuse, or indeed any trauma? And so, uniquely, I'm now in the position of being a victim myself, and sort of owning that victim, what was the best for me? And so I came up with what I consider a model response, of my own response of the people who responded to me. And I've come up with an acronym called LASSO, L-A-S-O, just so it's easy to remember. So L is to listen. A is to acknowledge the pain. S is to share the suffering. And O is to offer prayers and support. Let me explain for a moment. One of the most important parts to when somebody takes the courage to share their story, and most of it will never be shared in publicly, I did. Most of it will be shared in roundabout ways, in private conversations, looking to find somebody to share their story with. So if somebody is telling you the story, just listen without interruption. Listen to their story and hear it. But right beside it, you have to acknowledge what you hear. And when I say that is to say, take some tidbit of the trauma and reflect it back to them so they know you heard the probably the details. It's devastating that this happened to you at age 14. Some small, you don't have to recall the whole thing, but some small acknowledgement that you've heard their story. Then sharing the sorrow is that you acknowledge, but you go one step further. You want to say, I can't believe that's happened to you. I'm so sorry. Sharing the sorrow gives that empathy, that connection, emotional connection, is so very important. Then O is to offer, we can all offer prayers of support. But there are some of you, some of us, that have skills that could actually be of help. So offering support in some other way, depending on your skills, could be enormously helpful. Now that's the model response. So here's what's interesting, is that model response, and you'll be surprised how many people can't even listen to the story. Walk away, don't acknowledge the suffering that's happened, especially if it's in their family. And you say, so did it? No, that couldn't have happened in our family. And the story gets blocked. So it's important to do all of the lasso. I call it the lasso of love. That we surround a person with this lasso of love. So here's what's interesting is that if we don't respond like that, what happens? Well, potentially, it can actually do more damage. and not nothing. So we oftentimes, if we do nothing, well, nothing will happen. Actually, we have to be careful. Silence can actually be even more hurtful. Let me give an example by going to a different. Let's say your 14-year-old daughter was involved in an incredibly trauma and was killed in a car accident. Now, nobody was expecting it to happen, least of all you. I didn't know it. We're really close friends. And let's say we were having dinner or lunch next week, and it happened this week. Now, imagine, just if this scenario happened, her daughter died last week. We have a lunch regularly scheduled for next week. We go and we meet. We sit for lunch. I never say a word because I don't know what to say. I say nothing. This is not an atypical response, I want you to know, to a trauma, because we don't know what to do with trauma. So I say nothing. Now, honestly, if I never mentioned anything about what happened, we go through the entire lunch, because I don't know what to say, I say nothing, well, how would you feel? We're best friends. Right, you immediately assume you don't care. Something's wrong, and the reason why, now, if we were acquaintances, if I were a stranger we met, what would be your expectation? As a complete stranger, we never met before until this week? See the difference? If a stranger, it's okay because we don't know. But as a best friends, there's an expectation. So here's the reality, my friends, is that we have concentric levels. I think of concentric levels of intimacy. At the core is our best friends. Our closest family members are our best friends. And then we move out to the next level, you've got close friends, and then a little less close, and then eventually you move to acquaintances, and then you move to strangers, the whole world. There is an expectation, and it's implicit, that if we share something on that inside circle, and you do not respond, it hurts. It just hurts. No response, silence is hurtful. And I know we don't understand, we don't know what to say, but let me tell you, saying nothing hurts. You better get your lasso, because it's going to hurt if you don't. Now, as you move outside the circle, it has less and less impact to the where on the outside. It has no impact. Now, well, here's the really interesting thing as I started to pray and reflect on this. It's not the same when it comes to comments. If somebody actually says something powerful, something like a lasso, acknowledges, and shares support, here's what's interesting. While it's expected on the inside and heals, on the outside, it is not expected and it profoundly heals. Why? Because, in fact, it is not expected. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us in the gospel. That most of the people who we know in our lives who are involved in trauma are on the outside. We don't know them very well. Right? That's the reality. But we have an incredible opportunity to actually heal. Actually, even more so than those closest to us, because they don't expect it. And if we can send a note, an email, a text, or a handwritten note, or make a kind comment, it does a massive amount of healing from the outside. So every one of us has the opportunity to do that. Now, let me give you an example. Monday of this week, I had a text from a friend. From years ago, we went to college together. We know each other, yes, we're friends. We're certainly not inside core. We're not all the way on the outside either. But it's pretty close to the outside because I haven't seen him for years. And I've texted him maybe once every 6 months. He sent me this text out of the blue. And it's so touching that I have to share it with you. He says, "Brendan, hi. Just listened online to your last homily. May the Lord be with you. My heart broke as I saw you tell your story, so full of grace, love, and bravery. Brendan, I stand by you, with you, sharing your burden in any way that I can. I'm not sure I've ever seen a more selfless act as I watch you speak the truth for the whole world to hear. May the church now follow you in honesty and transparency. It is the only path forward. Let me know if there's any help I can give you in any way. You are loved, admired, respected, and a shining light for all of us." Wow. That was a blast of warm air on a cold day. That was a blast of light that took away the darkness of my heart for one moment. One person took time
to say something beautiful like that. Every one of us has that opportunity to do it to other people who are suffering. Now, here's the interesting part for me. I look back over my years as a minister, as a priest, and I say, okay, so where am I in the circle? And we all have to ask this question ourselves. Where are we on the circles of intimacy with the people who we meet? Now, I understand as priests, we're not always in the core because we're not the best friends for anyone, but we're certainly not on the outside either. We're somewhere in between. And I often wonder how many opportunities I have missed to give a warm blast of air to a chilly day. How many times have I lost the opportunity to give a bright light into a dark day for somebody? I don't know. And I don't know how often that might have happened for you. But that's the past. What we can do is from here on out, make sure that any time you ever hear somebody who goes through a trauma of any form, that you take out the lasso of love. Listen, acknowledge their pain, share their sorrow, and offer prayers and support. And make sure that we give them all that we can, the message of Christ. Because he said, the way you treat the little ones is how you treat me and the Father.